Welcome very much to Conversations. Pleasure to welcome to the program a personal friend of myself and of Conversations and of the world, and that being Bob Dobbs. He's a paramedia ecologist. Share a little of your own background.
Well, I say paramedia because there is a tradition of media ecology that Neil Postman founded at NYU. He has a whole department. They have students go through those courses, but we're post-media as structures now. We're now converged into some resonating node now. So a telephone, a TV, a car, these things are old artifacts.
By we, you mean the human society.
Yes, in general. Yeah, so that we're inside media, media's inside us. It is really not one medium, it's a converged media. So para means above, below, inside, outside, all around. And because the chip technology, the new digital world, allows us to be more mobile with all these older media environments, then we ourselves are para media. So we're not controlled by media structures per se, the way McLuhan wrote it many years ago.
Para media rather than meta media.
Meta is a Greek philosophical term that means above. Yeah. That's only one direction. But we're below media, we're inside it, it's inside us, we're all around it. Like a gyroscope going in and out.
Right, so, or a Mobius strip.
Or a Mobius strip.
Yeah, right, that kind of thing. And you're a student of McLuhan, you're a student of media, and the extensions of our sensory capability and that kind of thing, and understanding, he wrote famously, the medium is the message, that is, that the media is more important than the message. Maybe it's worth going over that.
I was first assigned to investigate him back in the 50s because I was in a certain international intelligence agency, and he had put out this journal called Explorations where he was exposing how the managers, the intelligence agencies, weren't interested in the content of media anymore. They understood that the media itself were dynamics of power and influence that people didn't understand.
Right.
And so that was a fact. That was the truth from the intelligence agency's situation. So they wanted to know how this guy figured this out. So I got to know him through the years, and I got to appreciate how he developed this. And then when I got out of the intelligence agencies, I have used McLuhan to spread the same message, but not on behalf of the CIA or whatever.
Do you think the intelligence agencies, you were based with some European-based ones, are adequately able to escape that tendency for systems to become tunnel visioned or to where they don't get total understanding of the process that would be appropriate for the leaders? Or what do you think?
National intelligence agencies remain with tunnel vision, but the international, what we could call world government or solar government agencies, encourage the local national agencies to stay within their perspective because that keeps clouding and obsession with content. The point is, Jacques Ellul said, and McLuhan developed this insight in his book Propaganda in 1965, it came out, that the culture in action, all its artifacts in action, is more propagandistic than the messages sent within the culture. So that's another way of saying the medium is the message. The structure or form. So now we come to this election. The United States is the only country in the history of the world that was founded on the printing press. And a newspaper medium, basically. Newspaper printing press.
Franklin. What about the new ones that have just come out after the Second World War? The decolonization and so forth. That's in the printing press age.
No, they're built on the radio. They're tribal nationalism. They're not Western nationalism. Printing press is the Gutenberg galaxy, whereas the electric age is the Marconi galaxy. It begins at 1900. Radio comes in the teens and 20s. And fascism surfaces in the 20s under the radio mandate. But radio had an effect all over the world. It upset all the cultures. But back to America, is the first country and the only country founded on the printing press as an isolated medium. That's pre-electric media. All right? So once every 4 years you have these elections, or even every 2 years, but national elections where the citizen, a citizen based on this literate meme, goes and establishes his private political identity by literate ballot. Now, what he votes for is, in general, this institutional complex in Washington, but really focused on the White House since television came in. So Americans get so involved in establishing their literate identity through voting every 4 years, and it's a big tribal catharsis. The problem is that the White House is based on the newspaper medium, an ancient landscape, an ancient territorial situation. Ever since Franklin, who comes in on radio, Kennedy, who comes in on TV, Reagan, who comes in on cable and international satellite TV.
Now we're coming in on the internet.
Clinton comes in on the internet. What does George Bush, what does he come in?
Yeah.
He comes in Post.com, post-crash of the internet, the charisma of the internet has disappeared. Now it's just part of the economy. Mm-hmm. Everybody lives it, and it's a nuisance. Mm-hmm. But it is a key medium. So Bush comes in during the post-information world, the world of non-communication, the world of tribal paranoia. Yeah. America was founded politically on the printing press, but it then created all these later technological environments.
Right.
It was the figurehead, the focus point, and it definitely created the internet world.
Mm-hmm.
So all these new media and landscapes have altered America's relationship with the rest of the world and its relationship to its original genetic meme, we'll call it, the printing press. That's a meme. That's a whole structure now lost. It doesn't mold us anymore.
But a meme is sort of like a gene, but it's a sociological kind of thing passed on culturally through time?
We could say genes are control mechanisms of our bodies, but media are what humans make, tech cultural artifacts, and they have overall general ideological effects, and those we would call memes. So each culture has cultural habits, and they control that culture.
Yeah.
And so that's a meme. That's a software form, whereas the gene is some kind of hardware form.
And the extension of these various sensory capabilities are done disproportionately through time, and that has consequences in terms of understanding social organization?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what's interesting about how television is an extension of central nervous system, that is not the last medium. The last medium
is the satellite,
which extends the whole planet. Now, that's 40, 50 years ago. What comes after the satellite? First comes the instant replay, and then the whole digital autonomous media, I call them, because they allow people to get out of the mandate of the TV age, which was you had to watch Ed Sullivan when he was on. Once you have the tape recorder, the answering machine, the Walkman, the personal computer, you are off that mass media grid, and then it becomes two-way. That creates a whole new sensibility. Now, we've had that for 10 or 15 years, that interactive media.
We're in the year 2004 or 5 now, so that goes back to
89. 15 years ago.
Okay, well, a big transformation has happened between that time.
Yes, and I think Clinton expressed that interactive, I feel your pain mode of the digital effect. But after Y2K failed and the thing didn't collapse, and then you had September 11th, you move into a different paradigm. And every presidency, its image always mimes what's really going on. And so you have a guy who can't, this present president, can't communicate, doesn't make an effort to communicate, says he doesn't follow media, newspapers, TV, none in the White House.
Can rise above it?
Rise above it.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is actually how people feel now with their digital technology. They are outside the mass media that came out of New York City and Los Angeles.
In the 40s, 50s, and 60s,
yes.
and 70s.
Yeah. And so the mood is, which Rush Limbaugh rides in on radio, that let's bash the elite media. Bush represents the elite media.
Bush represents the elite media?
No, he represents bashing
the
elite media.
Yeah, right, I see, right. Yeah.
And so he's riding in on the right-wing effect of we don't like that group dynamic, that liberal dynamic that came in with the information society of the mass media.
Well, maybe it would be worth touching that on. Some of the three revolutions that we've gone through in our very lifetimes that have affected political perceived reality.
McLuhan said that radio and print were hot media because they took one sense, extended one sense, and offered a lot of information in high definition in that one sense. So radio offered the voice in high definition. When TV came in the 50s, was a muddy, grainy image. You couldn't see precise photographic detail. So we called that a cool medium. And that made the audience get more involved in trying to fill in the missing data. So you went from a hot verbal medium.
High definition of a particular radio. Yeah, and the hot kind of Rush Limbaugh suited to that kind of a medium in a certain sense, even in our time.
He retrieved
that's why
that
the right wing does so well within a hot medium like radio.
Right, because...
Was print hot medium?
Yes, yes, high definition. No. But remember, the United States, the political institution of the White House, is founded on the printing press. So then you have Fox TV and this whole hot approach to TV and Rush Limbaugh hoiking up hot memes, hot ideas for an audience, an older audience that still believes in the boundaries of the United States set up by the printing press. So yes, you have a replay of the
when
hot.
When we are actually living in a global village.
Global theater. And that's even shrunk to a resonating node. A kid, their internet, computer, and laptop, they have all previous media environments inside their computer. And they are talking to someone in China, Japan, South America.
Just nonchalantly doing so. Nonchalantly doing it and not understanding why we're fumbling all over ourselves trying to be able to follow their lead.
That's what McLuhan meant by discarnate. They are not limited to this body and its sensory limitations. Uh-huh. They are on other frequencies, I call the chip body. Whereas the election is geared toward the TV body, the older conserving hot medium now.
You know, and to understand these things in media terms, who was it who said, we shape our tools, thereafter they shape
McLuhan
us?
McLuhan said
came up with some originals.
Well, he changed it. He said, we shape our tools, thereafter our tools ape us.
Yes, that's right.
And that's more true now as media gets smaller and more interactive and more user-friendly. McLuhan is known for the phrase, the medium is the message. But the later aphorism, more important today, is the user is the content. Whereas before, a previous medium was always the content of the newer medium.
Right. Isn't that hold still? No?
No, not anymore, because the satellite has the planet at its content and all previous media. But when you get the instant replay, and then the digital media, where media becomes smaller, and then the previous mass environments they were, then what becomes the content? The user, the human that's extended. As the media gets tinier and more miming and aping us,
and is moving toward the molecular level.
And to the nature of language, of interact, like speech. Radio is not speech. Speech is the content, but you're actually not interacting with someone speaking to you, you're just listening to speech as an art form.
Right.
That's why linguistics became a big study in the 20th century, because people could start to see language and its dynamics, but they were unconsciously in a new environment, the radio effect. And then TV brought up the fascination with the inner trip and drugs, because that was an addictive inner tripping medium, because it's multi-sensory.
And it's a transformative moment in terms of the evolution of universal events, do you think, now, in terms of which we live?
Every medium was always transformative. Every medium was apocalyptic.
Quantitatively, but are we coming to a period of qualitative transformation or relationship?
Right. I go with your paradigm shifting date of October 12, 1970.
I think there might be have some validity to that.
Because
in the
that's
end.
The end of the satellite. What comes in 1970, the instant replay, and that's the beginning where people watch the instant replay. They have the meaning before the experience. Humans never had that before. Yeah. You see an instant replay before the actual experience.
Yeah.
That, as McLuhan said, is a huge metaphysical ramification. But anyways, as the media shrunk since then, we now have this incredibly user-friendly, 24/7, 365-day, perpetual motion machine of information process. I say that the meaning of your October 12, 1970 post-scarcity paradigm is that we need to move into a post-software, new energy hardware medium, which will actually give us endless energy, more than's put into it. And I think cold fusion and those technologies, that kind of zero-point technology, represents the breakthrough medium that allows people around the world to get cornflakes, not just software consumption radio shows.
Yeah, and keep in mind also, half the people of the United of the world have never even made it to one telephone call in all their life.
It's irrelevant.
You think that's irrelevant?
You know why?
Okay.
Because they're inside the satellite proscenium arch. And they're...
Proscenium arch.
The proscenium arch of the satellites, the old theatrical arch in the Global Theater of Shakespeare. Well, that is the ring of satellites around the planet 40 years ago. And now that shrunk as we got digitalized and fiber optics came in. But the point is that people all around the world are affected by media that in increasing speed can go all over the world. And they can affect the managers of those pre-industrial societies. There's always a level of management. And, of course, those people rip off the funds and send them to the Swiss bank accounts is the urban legend of what they do. And there was a lot better management in Africa, say, in the 50s and 60s, once they had the local colonial movements were underway and took over. They were able to organize under United Nations auspices, actually regular feeding and education for the population. You look at footage of the 60s, looks like something's happening. The 80s, total pollution and starvation. Why is that happening? Because the movement of money and the circulation of that kind of economic power through the digital space caused by the satellites and computers in the 80s became a resonating node, which was nowhere.
Now, what does that mean, resonating node that is nowhere?
When you're on the telephone, you are both where you are speaking from and where you're talking to. That person is with you. And they're not only in your room, they're in your brain. Not only in your ear, you're inside their brain and they're inside you, because electricity is an extension of the central nervous system. Now, that's the telephone 80 years ago. Now, think of it, but radio does that collectively. It puts everybody in the same place. When you're listening to radio, you are in the studio. You're where the content is, and the content is in your room. TV speeds that up, implodes it even more. Computers... personal computers and the digital world makes it tiny, so we now live in one space. Mm. When a little kid has a laptop, all media in there, and they're in the same space and have access to the same information as anybody else, including the White House.
Mm. You and I have talked on the phone about that, the energy, the cold fusion, that would be great, or if we get some sort of a thing to get off the petroleum that we're on and that sort of thing. You have a great importance for cold fusion and some sort of an energy, but it's a transcendence not only of energy, but it's a transcendence of virtually everything if you're getting to where you're transcending scarcity as a reality for the organization of human society. That may, in fact, be the case, the adverse side to the potential destructive scenario of this whole line of evolutionary understanding and universe.
Right. That's why.
It's never voiced. Why?
Well, because all societies, until we have cold fusion as an environment, all societies are based on friction of energy and food winding down and disappearing.
Entropy.
You've got to replenish it. That's entropy. Cold fusion, how is it going to come in?
I don't know.
If the oil companies are insisting on having wars and maintaining the power of that kind of energy and not bringing alternative energies, how is it going to come in? Well, we can use Britain as an example. They never got into coal, even though they had coal, until they ran out of trees. So the optimistic view that's going to happen is that we're going to stay in the Middle East. The Americans are going to go into Iran next year. A year or so later, Saudi Arabia, due to the quagmire that's going to happen, will collapse. We will then have an oil crisis, not a peak oil crisis running out of it, but the distribution of it will be bogged down. Mm-hmm. At that point, China, which is going west and industrializing,
very rapidly,
will be very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they will then do a crash program on new energy, and I predict that they will pick coal fusion.
You do.
And that's the way we're going to move into coal fusion.
What about all the
China and Africa first?
Or what about all the people who say coal fusion is an illusion, can't happen, physics won't allow it to happen, it's just a fantasy?
Not true. It's
not true.
It's been proven in 600 laboratories. Mm-hmm. The Japanese government now knows it's a fact. They announced in 1997 that the government of Japan would no longer fund it. Mm-hmm. They hand it over to the corporations because the corporations are going to deal with it.
So you think the corporations are bearing it because they're making profit off petroleum and that kind of a nefarious kind of stifling
battle
of our...
So the change to coal fusion, which is sitting there on the shelves and is not being implemented for all kinds of human reasons, historical, political, rearview...
Is it a conspiracy?
It will be... to the point the oil company says, well, we still got oil, let's run with this until we have run out of it. An exclusive for your show is that there are 7 proven methods of developing coal fusion now sitting on the shelf.
Really?
And when China, in the end of this decade, when the emergency goes out, then they need a new alternative energy because they're not getting oil and they're dependent on it more than they are now or before, they will investigate about 10 or 20 modalities of alternative energy. Cold fusion, Pons inflation's cold fusion will win. And what was known back in 1990 when they announced it will be confirmed. So then China will move into that. And that is the way humanity will move into this new energy. And then that will allow us to move into this qualitative situation for our stomachs. Because our needs in fighting over friction-based society and food running out and energy running out for shelter will have been overcome.
You're optimistic concerning the human prospect?
In general. I don't think the creator, whatever that is, we call it God, goddess, or it, the monster in the sky, I don't think that even it knows what's going to happen because it's studying us. We're an experiment.
That means there's nothing absolute.
Right, and but that's the previous thing we mentioned about McLuhan. Every previous medium becomes an art form. Uh-huh. When we move into a hyper-awake state in relation to this universe, as we move into a new ability to mold and remake this universe, then that means we've turned this universe into an art form.
We may be privileged to live in a time when there's going to be a great awakening.
There has been a great awakening.
You think there has?
Yes.
But we're still hovering on the edge of possibly wiping ourselves out, clinging to old systems that we do not have a system that allows us to take advantage of the new ontology.
Okay, the internet created this cell phone reality where everybody could talk to everybody.
Yeah.
And so what happened in February 2003, the first time in human history where millions of people of all cultures all over the world protested whatever they saw Bush was going to do in the Middle East.
Yeah, that was really something.
That never happened before.
No, and it's only growing. It's only growing.
Right. Right, but that is an effect of the internet and the cell phone reality. How do we translate that back into old media? What do you teach your kids when the kids can get on and have access to any information?
Yeah.
Do they even need that when you're in a world where we're having a post-information dialectic?
And what I don't think you can so glibly, put off the fact that half of the population have never even made a single phone call, so they're not really in on this.
The starving people who don't have telephones and that, live in the future. We are at that point when we have a post-information society. What I mean by that?
Who's we in this case? Is that humanity or the privileged
the
few of
countries.
The industrialized countries? You're talking
countries.
About the leadership of
right.
the industrial
of the global theater. The situation is that as
there
we,
be a wider variety of we, including all
yes.
of the people,
yes.
and also the ecological question.
Yes.
We're embedded in a sea of bacteria.
All of species.
So we got to, yes, you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Can you incorporate that into what you're going to answer?
Yeah, let me
okay.
answer for a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, give me a couple minutes.
All right.
Every new environment has an invisible effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fish is in water, it doesn't know it's in water. We're only processing the previous medium because we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved out of that environment. We've
yeah.
become aware of it. So we were in an electric information society for 150 years. And people thought they were learning. They would process newspapers, books, movies, radio discussions, and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And by 1970, there was a global feeling of how common sense could take over this situation,
uh-huh.
that we didn't need to fight the wars.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at what happened from 1970 to now,
mm-hmm.
a lot of negative war, starvation happened. And a lot of people who grew up in the 40s, 50s, 60s thought that this was irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't understand is that we had moved beyond the idea of sending messages out and understanding messages and then coming to a consensus, because the digital media fragments people to live in their own information zone at
mm-hmm.
their own pace, at
mm-hmm.
their own rate.
Mm-hmm.
That is a chaos and an anarchistic situation. The
uh-huh.
fragmentation that media brought. So when I say post-information,
yeah.
that means you putting a message out
mm-hmm.
and someone receiving it and considering it. As new media came in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it sped up so people didn't have time to consider media.
Mm-hmm.
They were just keeping up in processing and sending media back. So there is no matching,
mm-hmm.
no attempt to understand by
mm-hmm.
different media environment in the 80s and 90s. And then when you get digital media where people can make fun of mass media,
mm-hmm.
one-way broadcast media, they're not receiving signals in the traditional cultural way of obedience to it and of learning from
uh-huh.
it. Nobody is
they
learning
haven't got their
anymore.
Head straight.
We are making up content for all the media. Many people are employed in industrial companies. More people are involved in covering the Iraqi war than are engaged in.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Is that a true fact?
That's a true
is
fact.
That a true
just
fact?
Just like happened in Vietnam.
Yeah.
More people
yeah.
covered it around the world than fought in it.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the world is engaged in processing media. Let's say that I say a profound truth here, and all of a sudden...
Been known to happen.
Yeah, I've done it before, but I understand there's no one there out
yeah.
there to take it in.
Yeah.
Because if we said something and the whole world stopped, think of that naive image that we define exactly
mm-hmm.
Harold Channer's 2,000 conversations,
mm-hmm.
finally have the conversation that communicates
mm-hmm.
something,
mm-hmm.
that effect. Imagine that rippling over the world. Not going to happen because
mm-hmm.
nobody is listening because
mm-hmm.
we must leave the studio
mm-hmm.
and another show has got to give and
yeah.
fill up the next hour.
Well,
so we're always filling up media.
Right.
Now, so here's the
okay.
point.
Go ahead.
So we are not producing information
mm-hmm.
the way we did 100, 200 years ago where you said something
where
and people
paid
respond,
attention.
Paid
yeah.
attention.
Yeah.
We're basically not paying attention
right. uh-huh.
because we're swimming in media
yeah.
as entertainment, as
uh-huh.
leisure, as sensory massage. That is the way it's been for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we hit September 11th,
mm-hmm.
where the so-called information environment was supposed to protect us
no.
from the military to NASA and all the satellites and all that stuff. It was supposed to protect us because
mm.
they were monitoring the information environment.
Mm.
The fact they couldn't was the meaning of that event,
mm-hmm.
that the cell phone so decentralized
mm-hmm.
that these guys from caves,
mm-hmm.
if you believe the iconic explanation of
uh-huh.
it, from caves were able to come in under the radar
yeah.
and knock out a big building with a big TV antenna on it.
Don't forget they had a box cutter.
Yeah, and they had
yeah,
that too. So the shock of September 11th was that the information surveillance systems were not able to protect people.
Right.
No one was listening. No one was monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
You move into an age of terror.
Mm-hmm.
We end up like the starving African
mm-hmm.
who's scringing on garbage piles to survive and doesn't know when they're going
to
get
Mother
killed by
wanted
and gangs
death.
Mauling
yeah.
you. This
yeah.
is the age. This
all
is the,
when we have the capability of providing for everybody in a way like we've never had before. There's a frustration building.
Right, because the information uh-huh. society took over. This was a huge disservice.
Because we don't have a system of organization that's in keeping with what the future allows or permits.
We don't have a way of understanding media.
It's a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Gail, yeah.
Finnegan's Wake
yeah.
mirrored the year 2000. So now you're in the age of paranoia.
Mm.
You have a president who comes in on that who doesn't have any respect for communication
mm.
or finishing his sentences.
No?
He knows
okay.
that communication's obsolete.
Oh.
He's just going to go forward with his little guerrilla team
mm-hmm.
and unilaterally
mm-hmm.
respond to the caveman
and why
other gangs.
Why do the people, when they have some sort of thing like an election to vote, why do they vote for such a man?
Bush is image one,
mm-hmm.
the image of the man who will not listen to the old media, who have been proven are not listening to the people. Look at his image. His image for 4 years was one who communicated inadequately, inarticulately, yet he still seemed to resonate. People didn't know until the election happened. So now the election comes, and he wins. His image wins. Mm-hmm. What does it tell us? Mm-hmm. It tells us that people out there don't believe the old broadcast media. Mm-hmm. They're not listening. Mm-hmm. This is what Rush Limbaugh celebrates after the election. He says this is an anti-media vote. This guy comes in with the image. Now, why didn't Kerry do that? Why didn't Howard Dean? Howard Dean wrote in 2003 on the internet, on the chip revolution, but that was irrelevant to the function of the White House, which is to provide a conserving image on the TV screen.
You had a line in there saying that the president is, by ipso facto, is Republican.
It has to be Republican.
It has to represent the old
order. The United States boundary. Yeah. We don't live in the boundaries of the United States. The world economy, nobody lives there. But you must keep that meme alive every 4 years. When the supposedly literate citizens establish that genetic mimic code of voting, which Ben Franklin established, so that is acted out. Mm-hmm. But the image must be a TV image, and it must be a patriotic Christian image, the founding book. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Dean comes in on a chip modality, you know, the internet, and he's going to change the image. That's not relevant to the function of the election. But Dean is relevant in 2003 because the economy and processing of information must have an exciting factor going on. So he's an exciting factor. Wow. They knock him out in January, February. Kerry comes in. Kerry tries to be the TV image, but he is not good at it because the TV image must have that patina of chip body post-information effect. Bush has it. He can be the TV president because he's ironically winking at the people saying it's a post-TV world. And I'm not even going to bother paying attention to the reporters and interviewers on TV or in the press conference. He has that edge, and he sneers. It's called arrogant. He sneers at the TV matrix in New York
at
City.
At the established system.
He's a patriotic, defensive, tribal image in a war world of age of terror where we are not being protected by information media anymore.
Right. And the president is Republican. The whole world system that's in place is Republican.
It's not Republican, it's anthropomorphic.
Okay.
The media take on a life of their own.
Like a meme.
Yeah, what I call the Android meme. And the Android meme is media processing going on by itself. Mm-hmm. That's the software utopia we lived in 24/7, 365. The anthropomorphic image that Bush and the establishment present is that we are humans, this is the way we do things, we get in trouble, we fight, and we work it out. But people, when they live inside this matrix, the Android meme, the matrix and the Android meme are showing that there's some kind of new post-human reality going on. The user is the content. The users who created this was the human race. Mm-hmm. And the human race puts as content, we, a struggling, tribal, paranoid species. What will break us out of that is something that is beyond the tribal paranoid meme of friction-based society, is the frictionless negentropic thing. Cold fusion will break us out of it. But we'll only get it by a tragedy. Will be in the Middle East. That will force this breakthrough. A lot of people are going to die in the next 10 years in this process. But in the long run, humanity will survive that because we'll have a new frictionless-based energy system symbolized by cold fusion. We're now in a post-understanding world. We're in a world that dances. We live the most primitive modalities, Paleolithic modalities, not only warlike, tribal cavemen, but we also live in an entertainment. You look at MTV, you look at this station, the amount of seductive imagery, ancient imagery, archetypal imagery that comes out of this station 24/7. So our social lifestyles are so diverse and fragmentatory that, you know, we never experienced that. Maybe cavemen did. So here we are. Where do you ask for understanding? Who determines where understanding is? That's like saying someone's listening. We understand by our behavior, how we respond with psychic and hallucinations. We think we're making love to UFOs and all that. We think we're being abducted. These are all free-range interpretations of where we are because we don't have an image to define where we're at here.
We're looking for pattern recognition of an information overload.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking for
we're grabbing any cultural reference point or meme to tattoo us.
Well, maybe we're coming to a new situation that is allowing pattern.
We have come to that.
I mean, information overload, what's his name said? Norbert Wiener, he said, information overload permits pattern recognition. Maybe instead of looking at all the little dots that we're looking at, we're beginning to get a situation where we'll be able to see the picture whole.
That's what McClellan came in. He said, as Norman Mailer said, it's very useful in an information overload environment to point out that the medium is the message. Why look at all the content? Look at the dynamics.
Look at the dots. Look at the painting, like a Degas or Seurat or something.
And
you're
so
looking at the whole
painting.
And are we getting to where we can maybe get a picture of that whole thing in a way so that it doesn't have to be...
We got to that.
We're not there yet because we do not have it in terms of the consciousness of the way in which
the planet... How do we translate everybody unified?
And how do you bridge between that kind of an understanding and those responsible for the operation of the system?
We can't in terms of software situations. Mm. We can't translate it to make it uniform and dominate everybody. So we will flip into a hardware breakthrough of cold fusion. Mm. It's the only way we can do it.
But why energy? Why not a larger context of which energy is one part? Explain that for me.
When we were made as humans, however it happened, mutated from ape into human, first thing we're dealing with is cold, warmth, and hunger. That is the eternal need to protect the body. We then communicate and develop speech, writing, and movies, and all these communication media to handle this problem of security and warmth and food. That was how you organize social energies to solve
the
food.
What about the higher
order? So then you create a technology, cold fusion. The output is greater than what goes in. That's immortal energy. Finally, you can take that battery, put it in your house, and you can have all this media and all these things for free because there's no bill, it doesn't run out. That is never happened
before. Well, why isn't that standard?
Been communicating. Humans have been language all through history and all the different media that come out of language and the extension of media.
Well, we weren't there.
We had a lot of communication problems for thousands of years, okay? A lot of misunderstanding, but all controlled by the fact that I was hungry. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, if I need to get something to eat and you might get it, I'll take it away from you if I need it because we're in
zero sum.
Zero sum. Now, what if we come up with an energy system that bypasses communication misunderstanding that actually gives you internal energy? That's cold fusion. Mm. That solves the communication bind we're in now. No cultures, the clash of civilization, of Huntington's statement, is really the clash of media, culture, and memes. Mm-hmm. And who's going to say which system is the best one to establish a hegemonic ending of the debate?
You got all kinds of fundamentalists.
You got people using media as fundamentalists. They're dedicated to print, or they're dedicated to TV, or they're dedicated to the Bible, or they're dedicated
modernism,
to...
Modernism, postmodernism, whatever.
They all got these all memes. But the thing is that will never get resolved unless something sneaks up like the hidden ground, the hidden environment of a breakthrough in energy. Mm-hmm. And we will be dragged into that fact backwards by what's going to happen in the Middle East over the next 7 years.
And you based all of these kind of things upon a media understanding based upon Mr. McClellan and Fuller.
That's what I use. I use Frank Zappa, Linda LaRouche, William Irwin Thompson, Marshall McLuhan, Bucky Fuller, James Joyce, Cosmic Awareness, The Medium, The Evergreens, and my own intuition and my partner.
I use those ten sources to understand this. And what is the economic philosophy that underpins all of that?
Kelso. Yeah. I'm a Kelso maniac.
You are?
I include Kelso.
Yeah.
I think Kelso had it right.
Well, it may be. That's a different... But that stands outside the labor theory of value that everything... So that's at the level of organizing things like corporations and nations and things.
Right, right.
Those kind of things do figure in as well as cold fusion. We got a whole transformation.
Within the world of language and communication. The understanding that you say we need to have was presented by Joyce and Finnegan's Wake. Mm-hmm. There was the book, the ultimate book, that you could listen to and respond to and match with.
It was
you
about
could,
the electronic age.
About the singularity we've come to. It predicted the digital
era. We haven't got there yet.
It describes the noise we've come to. The utopian noise we live in now.
Well,
it's a utopian noise.
You're using
That's within language.
You're using terms like singularity. That Kurzweil says that's coming in about 2030.
When the machine's
superseding human intelligence.
No. Kurzweil is rearview mirror. He keeps talking about machines. He doesn't understand that television is a machine or the digital is a machine. He talks about some mechanical thing. We have lived in this spiritual machine for 100 years. Mm. Once you had the electric environment, as de Chardin said, it's a biological event. Everybody has been unified inside the electric resonating node. That's what Ezra Pound called the vortices movement, a radiant node of energy coming in and out.
Yeah.
And that's the software metaphor. The pinnacle, the apotheosis of our communication history, which has great artists and philosophers, religionists and scientists playing off and discussing it.
Yeah.
That came to a fine ending point with the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And that's why you couldn't have an election. You had to have a programmed election, a selected election. Every election from now on will have this conspiracy mode around it. Because the White House is such an obsolete institution mm-hmm. that the imposition of the National Republican image on it, mm-hmm. which must be done to keep that meme
right.
going, is contradicted by the world reality yeah. we live in. Post-Carson
and with
world.
All due respect, I think it's appropriate to be there because the transformation we're talking about is a fundamental one and is a huge one. And I think it's going to be not within the corporate media well-established. It's going to be coming out of something like the indie media or the access media or the independent media of the Internet and so forth.
That's all we have is independent media.
Uh-huh.
Little kids on their instant messaging or on their chat lines and mm. discussing constantly day in, day out in mm. classrooms mm-hmm. and signaling back and forth with hand signals, mm-hmm. they're independent. They're off the grid. This is independent media mm-hmm. in the older media form.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan,
you mean
Neighbor
this
Network.
This be Manhattan Network.
Neighbor.
No. Well, this is part
it's
of
television. It's a radio. It's a music. It's right. Sculpture. It's interviews.
Yeah.
Those are old media.
But it's a place where ideas can be discussed
right.
by people who are not responsible.
And that
for
was
those
important for 30 years.
And there
from
has
1970
to
2000, Manhattan Neighbor Network was relevant.
It
it's
is
not,
still.
It's still anything is relevant mm-hmm. now, as mm-hmm. long as you want to ignore what's coming. You want to ignore the confusion flip out, you know, then you want to stay within the communication world that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is this? This is your 2000th interview, right?
Yeah,
you've done 2,000
almost,
interviews.
Yeah. Well,
have you stopped and influenced anything? Sure, you've influenced all kinds of minds,
mm.
but did you stop Bush going into Iran
I'm
next
not talk-
year?
No. I'm not talking about No, you're not going to. I mean, those things should
what
be.
What is it?
And
that, well, how come we
you
can't
have
stop
to
that?
Come up with an answer. We have to come
ah,
up with
no
an answer.
No one's going to listen.
Right.
So the answer is beyond communication.
Well, the answer
is. Is a new environment.
Well,
that's my point.
Well,
that's obvious.
All right, fine. You've made the point. Okay,
yeah.
That's really good. And if it's going to come, the answer is going to come or something, it's going to come within the media, it's going to come within the media, not corporate. And the business and government leadership that is all on the television now is going to be a lagging indicator.
Yes, they've been lagging for 30 years.
An important component of a conservative anchoring to the system out of which we're emerging, and not one hair on their head should be violated.
That's right.
Because they will eventually be able to understand,
yeah.
and it will come out of the media and so forth. And so, Bob, thank you very much.